when I read the book of Esther and I saw Haman going to pay money and Mordecai, I was shocked. Why didn't I know it was in the Bible all the time? So when they have burnt and killed Christians, the army, the police, nobody will show up. The moment the Christians are able to rally around and want to retaliate, then the army comes shooting the Christians so that the Christians don't kill anybody. Do you understand? Yeah. I live there. We wake up. One day we woke up, 68 churches were burnt and 68 pastors were killed with their families. And one, they left the wife and the children. They refused to kill the wife. They said she should go. She said they should kill her. They refused to kill her. It's an act of mercy. And then, of course, the government came to rehabilitate the widow's child. You know what they did for her? They made her a street cleaner. So they are rehabilitating widows. She was sweeping the streets. She, who used to be the apple of her husband's eye, she lived in a three-bedroom flat. She was the cynosure of his activities. Everything he did was to honor her. Her children rallied around her. And then suddenly, you know, tell her that you are rehabilitating her. And she should be sweeping the street for something less than $10. Yeah, 100. 3,000 naira. That's what they were paying them. I don't know how much that is. Because the exchange rate is like the Atlantic Ocean. It can be anything, it's indefinite. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's where I live. I'm a minister. Because he sent me there. But you see, I don't want to distract from that. Paul told Agrippa, he says, assassins like you and me can change if we have the kind of encounter I had. That's what he was telling him. He was telling Agrippa, you come from a lineage of bloodthirsty kings. You yourself is bloodthirsty. But I can assure you, Agrippa, that's the way I was until I had that encounter. Agrippa stood up and closed the court. He said, you almost converted me. Because what he was telling Agrippa is, there's no reason why you should continue the way you are. Take this change. And Paul said, no, Agrippa. It's not only you I came for. I came for all these people, both my accusers and those that are defending me. He says, the only thing hindering me is this change. And yet the gospel is on the end of it. I'm happy to meet with you today. You know, I feel such a liberty. Paul said that. Did you hear the audacity in Paul's voice? Paul was a Roman. You can imagine you're an American. And then you are in Nigeria, or in Ghana, or in Papua New Guinea. And the people there want to kill you. There's a mob out to kill you. And then American GIs or special forces come in there and they capture you from the people. And they are taking you into the safety of their barrack. What would you do? Is it not that you bring out your passport and say, see, I'm an American, so that they can get a B-32 bomber. Wherever they can get some, let it fly you to America, far from these murderers. Is that not what you do? Would you preserve your life? Paul didn't. As they were climbing the steps, he told the centurion, excuse me, sir, let me defend myself. Defend yourself for what? They want to kill you. There was something about their faith that we don't have. And we want to take our city the way they took their city. We want to influence our generation the way they influence their generation. This fire cannot be divorced from that. If you cannot have the intimacy that Adegoye has, if you're already feeling too big at 30 to be moved in worship, and you are standing in church, and they are singing song after song, surge after surge of power, and you are just there, the rock that cannot be moved. Something is wrong. How do you attend to the exploits that the exploits they enjoy?
Come on, sir. Come on.
You have never held a microphone and tried to get people to respond. That's why it's easy for you to sit on the other side and then act like a stone.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yep. I'm usually a shy person. I don't talk. I only talk with my own people. If you leave me, I'll be a recluse. One time I was dreaming of buying an island. I told God, I said, if you bless me, I'll buy an island. And then I'll put crocodiles around the island. So only me will be going and coming. You don't see me unless I invite you. Island. I wanted to buy an island. I don't have small dreams. I'm as big as my God.
Amen. You know?
Amen.
So, I'm a recluse. I'm not the kind of person that should be preaching. I'm a big rascal. When I stand up to preach, my heart beats faster because I don't know who is in the crowd and I don't know what they know about me. One day I was in a London church. There were like 3,000 to 4,000 or 5,000 people. And I stood up there and the people shouted, yay! And I said, yeah, it's the same Delvan, it's me. Because I was too sure there were people in the crowd that I had duped, I stole it from. I was a rascal. I was a businessman. I could not join a queue. If I come to a queue, even if they are queuing for nothing, I must pass forward and I will go and meet and say, yes, I don't know. And then the people will be starting, you are jumping in the car, say, I'm not going together with her now, we're not together. I force people to lie just because I can't join the queue. I came from a generation that was crazy. In university, we call it shunting. We don't join the queue. Our generation was too fast. We're the ones that produced this new generation of rascals. They had a background. So I don't join the queue. I'm impatient. If I sit down for 5 minutes, I'm ready to go. We went to the Nigerian Defense Academy. We wanted to join the army. And we had already passed the exam. And we were squatted outside the gate. And it was then they would call you to come in for the interview. We squatted for 5 minutes, no movement. 10 minutes, no movement. My friend, his name was Crazy. That's his guy name. And Crazy just said to me, oh boy, these people are wasting our time. I said, it's true. And we just stood up and went to drink. That's the end. Military dream finished. And my dream was to join the military and organize a coup and become a military governor. That's all. So maybe God was saving me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, Paul was reading his credentials. One day I read Paul and Paul said, me, who was the chief sinner, I said to Paul, so I added my own in the Bible. I added to the Bible. I said, you were chief before I came. And other people can read my own story and say, before I came. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that's the truth. It's not, you're not losing anything by saying who you were before Jesus met you. You are giving him the credit. That he's the only one that can modify the murderous instincts in you. Some of us by nature, we are careless. If they say they are drinking fire there, we'll go and drink it. If they say they are smoking water there, we'll go and smoke it. If anything they ask for, you say yes. You never know no. No is not part of your language. One day God had to wake me and told me, do you know I invented the word no? I said, no, it's a lie, show me. And he took me to the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, he showed me how he created. And he would look, and everything was beautiful. And he would say, yes, yes, yes. In chapter 2, he created the man. The man was faithfully working. And then he looked at the man and said, no. That's the first time the word no was created. It's not good for a hard-working man who is doing the job he was given by God to be alone. It is necessary to boost his ability to work. No, it's not good for the man to be alone. Man didn't know a woman existed, so he couldn't have asked for her. No is a prophetic word. Some of us lived our lives. All the mistakes we have made is because we were not able to say no. Some people till today can't say no. I used to have an auntie, and every time you see her, if she wants to get up, you say, auntie, what is it? You say, is this my chest? It's going to kill me. Is this my chest? It is going to kill me. How can your chest kill you? Is this my ulcer? When will you say to ulcer, no, not in this body. This is the temple of God. You can't coexist. Some people just won't say no. We went to a restaurant with pastors. We were praying. We said, Pastor, what will you eat? He said, anything. What do they have? I said, you're not a dustbin. Why do you want to eat anything? What do they have? It's your money. If they don't have it, we leave their restaurant. They are looking for our money, not we looking for them. Let's find somebody who has what we want. He had to teach me to learn to say no. I never said no. If it wasn't Jesus that came to my life, how would I get a fine wife and marry from a correct family? My wife is proper. Her head is screwed on her neck. With her own eyes, she looked at me and said, yes. If I ask myself to marry me, I'll say no. See how you are excited. Who's good? But women have faith. Look at Pastor Carl's wife. When I saw her, and I saw the children, Carl said to me, the Lord has blessed me, Pastor. I said, oh boy, you see they use bless. Your whole world has bless. Who, didn't know me God, who can give Carl this kind of wealth? Didn't know where we're coming from, where some people started the journey from. You'll be shocked. Only God. The day my daughter was born, I started crying. Because I didn't see my son born, but I saw my daughter. I held her, and it was like God gave me a blank piece of paper. Write anything you want. And I said, God, to God, it's too much. I told him, I don't want the baby. I told him straight. I wasn't upset by the baby. I love my baby. But I was wondering, it must be a trap. How do you give a guy like me a soul to keep custody of me? No way. No way. No way. And so on and so forth. Some of you need to take a look at your husband again and remember who you were. It was like God pulled wool over the man's face and his friends and family. That's the reason why you are sitting beside him as his wife. And the guy loves you to nuts. So that we can give thanks to God. Paul said that to Agrippa. He says, guy, if you meet that guy, every murderous instinct with you will be subdued. You will wake up greeting everybody. Hello, how are you guys? God bless you. You are the blessed of the Lord. Agrippa said, you almost meet me, a Christian. Jesus keeps capturing those men. The reason why he captures them is because he created the heavens and the earth. Yes. He owns them. He maintains them by the word of his power. He said, I am Alpha, I began it, and I am Omega. So in Psalm 53, he says, only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But in Psalms 100, verse 3, he now adds and says, we didn't create ourselves. He created us.
Hallelujah.
We are the sheep of his pasture. He will make a way where there is no way. I've seen my mother cook food out of nothing. My father traveled on missions. There was nothing in the house. She would say, where is the bag of dry okra? You bring it, there's nothing. What you saw was not, in fact, you can throw the leather away. My mother will shake that thing into the pot. She would say, where is this? The salt is even finished. In no time, we will be eating. And many of the times I look at her, and I'm thinking, one day I told my mother, you're a witch. Because her ability to stretch nothing became a legend. We must eat. We will go to the store. There is nothing, but my mom will produce something just so that her children won't die. If a mother who is wicked and evil in flesh can do that much, how much more God? He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. So he's the only one that can either condemn the earth or is the only one that can bring glory to it. I don't know if you have ever heard his gospel. I don't know if anyone has ever told you about him. Or maybe they just spoke some things about him and they said to you, he's a good guy. God is not a good guy. He is God. You call him daddy. He's in charge. Whether you know him or not, he's the one you will stand before him on the day when it matters the most.
That's
it. You better know him now.
That's it.
He's king over the animal kingdom. Animals don't confuse him. There are venomous beasts. If you watch Animal Planet, they will show you the 8 most dangerous animals in Australia. And they will show you some snakes. They will show you the most dangerous snakes in the world. The problem with snake bite is, when a snake bites you and leaves you, you are not free because its poison is racing to your heart to paralyze your nervous system and destroy your heart. So a snake fastened himself to Saul's hand. And it was like he was saying, we will die together. And was pumping venom. He knew that he was going to die. He locked his jaw in Saul's wrist, pumping poison into the blood vessel. The blood was to carry it to the brain and knock out Paul and end his ministry. The Bible says, Paul looked at the snake and says, the King of Kings that is in me is master over snakes. So he shook it into the fire and said, you die, I'm not going to die. And the poison inside of him, this King of Kings paralyzed the power of the poison. So Saul wasn't just rid of the snake, he was rid of its venom.
There
are some of us today, what is actually killing you is the venom of the things that were said to you, the things that were done to you. The snake has left you, but you are dying because the poison is flowing through you. Recently, watching National Geographic, they explained that snakes use their venom the way they do. They would bite a rat and leave the rat and sit beside, waiting for the poison to finish the rat. They don't fight with the rat. They just bite it, leave it with the venom. Let the venom do the job. There are people, that's what's called spiritual wickedness in high places. People calculate and say something to you, and then they leave you. And you are walking here, and you will never amount to anything. You are good for nothing, useless. The person has left you. He's in Tokyo. You are now in Kathmandu. But the work he did, it is working and living in you. Only Jesus is able to express that thing out of you. Do you understand? He's King of Kings. He's King over lions. Lion. Samson went to the bush to ease himself. Pulled down his pants and bent down. That was when this young lion, not an old rugged lion, young, agile, looking for exploits. That's when the lion rose up. The lion didn't come when his belt was tied and he could have settled to fight. The lion came when he had lost his belt and he was in a disadvantaged position. The Bible says, in that position, Gideon cut that lion, tore it like you tear a goat. It's not even easy to tear a goat, even when it is cooked. You know, when it is cooked, you still have to put pressure to tear it, isn't it? Samson, he tore this young lion like it was a goat. One of my friends, a great man of God, I know you know him if I call his name, but I won't. He has a bad leg. He limps. So he was in the jungle. He went out to pray. And he prayed all night and all day. And then he decided he wanted to ease himself. So he went to a corner in the bush and bent down just like Samson. Immediately he bent down and was about to start relieving himself. A snake rose up right in front of him. Now, he normally has a bad leg. Then now his pants are down and he's on the floor. What is he supposed to do? He said, when I saw that venomous beast, I just shouted, die in the name of Jesus. And the snake just settled down and slept in the Lord. There was nowhere to escape to. That's how he learned to pray. It's very popular. I learned to pray like that. My wife wasn't with me. We had separated. And I came back home so that we could reconcile. But I was living alone, and my money had finished. And you are separated, you don't have a wife, you don't have a child, you don't have... Nobody wants to associate with that kind of man of God. So I was in the house alone. I wasn't fasting, I was living a fasted life. How many of you know what I mean? Fasting is when you decide you want to pray and not eat. Me, there was no decision. So every day I was just with my Bible laying down those things. The only good thing in my life was that the water heater in my house. Look at me. Nonsense. Very rascally girl. She's gathering a lot of stories about me. So the only thing working in my house. Yeah, like you see where you are sitting. Everybody is laughing. She's just like, I cannot be moved. Are you Mount Zion? So the only thing good in my house was I had a water heater in the bathroom, and it was working. So I would go and fetch hot water as a cow. And I would be sipping as I'm reading the word. I told myself it is tea. Because this is the point, sir. When you don't have money for communion, if they dash you biscuit, you will hide two in your pocket. Because that's what you're using for communion. And then you fetch water and keep it and say, this is the blood and this is the body. And it must work. Americans used to use special wine. Then Kenneth Copeland came to Africa to do a crusade. And he said, when the Lord said we will take communion, he turned around. There was no wine for communion. All he saw was Pepsi Cola. That's when he knew that you can use Pepsi. We use Eba and soup. It depends. You just. I'm showing you practical life. So when they give you biscuits in America, don't eat it. Leave some for your communion. But so that day, I don't know how many days I hadn't eaten. But I just remember that I was holding my Bible, holding my cup of hot water, and I was walking around the house. From somewhere, I don't know where, a hunger rose up. I knew that day, I must eat. There was nothing. So I went to my store, and I saw empty shelves, empty pots, the stove. Cockroaches had even laid eggs inside because it had not been lit. There was no fire on it. I looked at the kitchen, and from somewhere, the hunger came from somewhere. Then from another where, something rose up, and I just began to call the things I needed. I just stood there, rice, beans, palm oil, tomato, pepper, dry fish, meat, vegetable, onions, the things that accompany salvation. I called them. When I didn't say in Jesus' name at the entrance, and I didn't say in Jesus' name at the exit, I just turned around and started going back. That was all. When I left, about 2 hours later, the Lord said, your wife said she's coming today. Won't you step out and see if she's already here and help her in? So I stepped out of my gate and I saw a slim girl, just like my wife, but she was limping with one foot. It was like her shoe had broken or something. And so she was holding one shoe on her hand, and then she had this tall bag on her head. And I was thinking, my wife is too sophisticated to be walking like that. And the Spirit of God said, that's your wife. I said, no, you don't know my wife. My wife is a babe. She doesn't behave like that. And the Spirit of the Lord said, look again. So I looked and I saw her. I said, it's my wife. So I ran. It was getting to dusk. It was evening. So I went to her and I met her with this tall bag. And I helped her. I said, what happened? She said, when I came down from the cab, our friends, John and Meg, they came out of their house and they said to me, honey, since DV came back, we have not done anything for you guys. It's almost like we are unaware that you guys will be struggling to put together your lives together. So they took me in. They gave me rice, beans, dry fish, meat, everything I called. was in that letter. And then they gave her 600 naira on top, that in case there was something missing, she should finish making the jollof rice. And then she wasn't there when I prayed. Meg and John were not there when I prayed. I didn't say in Jesus' name. You know, we used to think that that's the talisman. When we were learning deliverance, we would go and surround the demon possessed us in Jesus' name. Then one guy came and said to us, why we're not getting results is that we should be saying in Jesus' name. So we stopped saying in Jesus' name. He says, in Jesus' name. And then nothing happened. Then one guy said he was in Ibadan. And he saw them praying and casting out demons. That what they were saying was, in the matchless name of Jesus. So we started in the matchless. And it wasn't happening. And then somebody said that he saw one bishop. It was like an injection. He said, in Jesus. So we started being in Jesus. We were injecting. And nothing was happening. We were just looking for what? Power. So some of us think it's not prayer until you say, Papa. So people must inhale before it is prayer. They don't know prayer is simple communication. How did you tell your mom you were hungry? Did you knock on her door and say, please, mommy, the wife of my daddy, the one who fed us since we were children till this time. It was told me that when I was sick in the night, are you not the one that used to trek to the hospital with me? They said, when I had a fever, were you not the one crying? If I have found favor in your sight, can I have dinner tonight? That's not how we said to our mom. We came to our mom and said, in fact, we didn't even say, we said it from outside, I'm hungry. If she didn't ask, some of us cry with 5 gears. You can change gear 5 times. We cry like that, buddy. We used to cry and then we'll do gnashing of teeth. We start with weeping. Then that's how we cried. And our mom, as you started crying, your mom was already fixing a snack, cooking the main thing, giving you one. My mother was a wicked one. My mother would beat kettle and fill it with water. Then ask me, what is this? I'll say, it's tea. Then she would put 1 cube of sugar and stir it and say, yeah, drink. I will sit down and be drinking tea, waiting for the food. Then when I'm tired, I'll start selling tea to my brother. I said, do you want tea? My mother has fixed me. I was a buffoon. That's how to pray. Everything you breathe, when you sigh, you are tired. God hears it.
Amen.
And it's the expectations of the righteous that will not be cut off. You are just not expectant. That's the reason why you don't see it. Many of the times he has already come, but you are the one who refuses to pick. Because you just didn't see it. He's king of animals. Daniel landed in a den of hungry lions. The lions gathered together and told him, come and see. They became his blanket. Their bodies were warm. He had central heating as he slept that night. The lions were no more hungry, but they had been starved. When Daniel left, the people that accused him were thrown in. The lions remembered their hunger, and God doubled their hunger. They tore them to pieces. He's king over animals. A donkey spoke Balaam's language. The donkey didn't speak in English. He spoke Balaam's language. Even Balaam, foolish enough, discussed with a donkey without realizing the donkey is talking. He said, the donkey said, why are you beating me? He said, because you are an idiot. The donkey said, but have I ever failed you? The prophet answered the donkey, no. He was talking with a donkey. He wasn't shocked enough to talk, but stop and say, it's a donkey. God is king over animals. He's king in the sea. People have been on the sea when the sea was boiling and they were going to be sunk. And they showed up. Paul told them, the God whom I serve sent his angel this night. They hadn't seen the sun for weeks. But Saul saw an angel. And they were all sitting together, prisoners. No other prisoner saw the angel except Saul. And he told me, we will lose the ship, but we will not lose a soul. Some of you, Kansas is saved because you are here, but you are not aware of it. Your neighborhood is safe because of you, but you are not aware of it. One day, two prisoners were joking. They were laughing at another prisoner. They said the prisoner is so morose that even if they were to hang him with a brand new rope, he wouldn't even laugh because he's the first to launch the rope. Do you understand? They are all on death row. So they used to joke. They said, praise God, they have even changed the rope for hanging now. I'll be the first to launch it. Thank God I'm not going to die on the rope where they killed it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they said the guy was so morose that he will never see anything to celebrate in life. How can you live your life like that? You're saying in your heart, there is no God. He's king over kings. Nebuchadnezzar the top. I wrote a decree. Everywhere we rule, there is no God like the God of Daniel. Whoever does not bow to him, they should gather him and his house. Don't take anything. Stone them plus their property and raise a hill of stones over them. So that every time we pass, we say, those are the people who refuse to acknowledge God. Nebuchadnezzar. He made another decree. He said, it is now I know that the God of Daniel, whom I didn't know, was the one that programmed me to become king of Babylon. Because now I know. I thought it was my strength, but I realized. He's king over women. Have you ever seen a very difficult woman? Jesus is king over them. He subdued them in the Bible. He's king over men. Have you seen incredibly wicked men in the Bible? Jesus was king over them. Today, I will close with two songs. And I believe it just bless you. And the purpose for those songs is to anchor this truth on the inside of you and to prepare you for the tasks that lie ahead of you. Many of the times we come to church and people get upset because they don't know why they should be in church every day. And we come to church and it looks like the message doesn't concern what I really need today. I want to assure you that when God brings a message your way, it might be irrelevant today, but He's giving you an indication Amen. Of what lies ahead. Amen. The words God gives you, they are good for yesterday, for today, and they also prepare you for tomorrow. There are people in the house today. Today was designed by God to mark an absolute turning point. Some of us have never known Him before. This is the first time we're knowing Him. Others had done business with Him and abandoned that business. And today you are picking up the gauntlet again. Wherever your state is, it is the Lord that has done it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.